could join us today. My name is Daniel Cavanaugh, and I'm here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We are in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And Dad, we've been talking a lot about the foundations and if they be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know, obviously the psalmist says that. We've been kind of plowing our way through Psalm 78 and talking about what are the foundational elements. But I think today we kind of want to transition into something very practical. I think it's very practical, right, in this idea of what actually has been lost. Right. That which has been lost. And tying that back to our loss of desire for the Lord and all of Him. So right. We may not get through all of them today. I know we've got a list here, and we may just pick back up next week. But just starting off, we've got the first thing here, and I'm going to have you explain the loss of virginity. And I know that may sound kind of weird, but I'm going to just throw that out, and you can explain that if you don't mind.
Well, the whole concept of virginity has to do with purity. We first think of sexual virginity, right, and sexual purity, and there's certainly been plenty of a loss of that. And that's right, not all I'm talking about or all we're talking about. We talk about the loss of virginity. We're not thinking in terms of the loss of innocence across the board, really. Yes, sexually, but sexually is really sort of the last thing to fall. It's when we lose our sense of what is holy and sacred.
Right.
And we're living basically with a ravished culture and therefore a ravished church that has mm-hmm. lost its sense of what is holy and sacred.
You know, it's interesting you bring that out because I look at Israel, which is the context of Psalm 78.
Right.
And I look at, in my experience of reading over the Old Testament, and you see Israel when they forgot those foundational elements that we've talked about, how they just simply lost all sense of control, yeah, all sense of, it was like they lived for the moment.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest thing that comes to mind is early on in Israel's history, when Moses, and you know, he's up getting the commandments,
right,
and
right,
they're down there just living it up, you
yeah
know, and he comes down and there they are. The very commandments that were to guide them were to reveal who God was, and they had just completely forgotten and were pursuing a golden calf, of all things,
yeah,
and something
all
that's
that
not
with
even
all
real.
The trimmings that went with it,
exactly,
which were pretty grotesque.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's interesting you say they lost control, because if you go back to Proverbs 29:18, where it says, in the King James, it says, where there is no vision, the mm-hmm people perish. Now, people remember that line. If they don't ever use the King James Version, they remember
yeah,
that
it's funny how
phrase.
That works, yeah.
It's kind of stuck around. But if you look in the NASB and the ESV and some of the other versions, even the New King James, it says, where there is no prophetic revelation, the people cast off restraint. Mm-hmm. One version says the people go naked, and literally the word can be translated that way. So that's the first section. Well, I always remember that. The second part of that verse is, but whoever keeps the law, happy is he. And there you see the contrast. There was Moses and the people of God, and Moses leading them to follow the ways of God. He's gone up to get a word from God. And while he's up there getting a word from God, they cast off restraint.
Right.
They don't care about the revelation. At that moment, they care nothing for the revelation of God.
Right.
And we could transfer that right back to our day, is that our culture, that we had a culture that was once at least biblical in a manner of speaking. It had biblical elements to it. It had Christianized elements. I don't think those who are very serious would ever say it was a totally Christian culture.
I mean, man has always been sinful.
Yeah, yeah.
I like what Adrian Rogers says. Man's always been depraved. You can't get any worse than
that. Yeah, he's totally depraved. Yeah. You can't get any worse
right
than that. So, but on the other hand, those restraining elements of a biblical mindset have long since gone.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have this unrestrained approach to life and this loss of innocence to children. We were talking about this earlier as we were discussing, just getting ready here. Children, there's no such thing as innocent children anymore.
Right.
Children are exposed in an early age to all kinds of the seedier elements of society, and all they have to do is turn the television on. I mean, even if they just have the local networks, but then you've got hundreds of things coming in, it just pours in, and then they can pull it up on their iPhone. You know,
right.
None of these new technological advances is evil. It's just that they give the opportunity to be distracted and to be exposed to things that God never planned for us to be exposed to.
Right. And, you know, I think it's interesting because we can. It's so easy for Christians, American Christians, I should say. You know, obviously I'm not in other cultures all the time, so I have a hard time drawing that out. But in American culture, we as Christians tend to go, well, if we could just have revival, and then we get back on track. And it's you hear that phrase so many times.
Good old-fashioned revival.
And sometimes I really wonder if we really want revival or we just want a good life back. You know, we want just things to be good again.
If we could just get things back the way they were.
Because, and so, which leads me to kind of another point, and that is that really, honestly, you look at what's going on around us, and it's the church is not immune.
Exactly.
I mean, we are not in awe of who God is. And Pastor Dave this morning was preaching, you know, on that. And he basically said, we're not in awe of God.
Right.
You always look for these takeaways, but we're not in awe with God. We've lost our sense.
Well, we want these practical points of theology, right, when we can't just sit at the feet of Jesus and go, wow, you know.
Right.
And so, and having said that, we do have a ravished culture, but we have a ravished church.
Right.
We have lost the sense of awe of God because these other things. Remember what John said in the book of Revelation, I saw the beast, I wondered, I marveled at the beast. And the angel says, why are you marveling at the beast? I want to show you where this thing's going.
Right.
And that's what we need to get back to. I want to show you where this is going to end. This is all fluff. It's all distraction from the main thing, which is Christ.
Right. And then when the foundations are destroyed, then you really have nothing to stand upon. You're going to give way to what is around you.
Right.
Because that then becomes your foundation.
Right. So the quicksand is what you go down into.
You know, you mentioned here, as I was just looking through some notes of mine, when we've talked about this before, this idea of this narcissistic, this hedonistic culture that we live in, I am never ceased to be amazed at how we as Christians are susceptible to a lot of these things.
Right.
Now, honestly, I think we could flip hedonism on its back and say that Christians should be the most joyful and
we should look for
Piper
pleasure.
Calls it being Christian hedonist.
But it should be pleasure in God himself.
Right, and I think that's the difference. Whereas we pursue pleasure and we kind of forget about God in the process.
It's pleasure for pleasure's sake.
Exactly. You know, so we have this one thing called the loss of virginity. Kind of moving along here, there's that loss of authenticity. And I look at this one and I see this one very clearly in my generation. And I'm not saying your generation is not being effective.
We've always had our...
Right, right. Yeah, but I look at it and I go, okay, we play video games all the time, which I'm not here to do. This is not a rant against video games or anything that I'm about to mention, but I use these as cultural identities to draw out a point here. And that is, we have video games, we have fantasy football, we have movies that we watch all the time. And all these things allow us to do things without really ever committing and doing them. If you catch what I'm saying. It's as though we're doing it, but not really. I like Mark Driscoll. He was doing a rant against, and he's very good at doing rants. But he was talking about video games. He says, basically what you have is a bunch of young men who go around fighting battles, but they've never fought a battle.
Right.
They don't fight for anything. They don't fight for women. They don't fight for the Lord. They don't fight for anything.
Mm-mm.
He
they
says,
just play.
Exactly. And he said...
And act as though that's real.
But I think his point was right. It's this idea of this loss of authenticity. What makes us authentic?
Yeah. What's real?
Right. What is...
What's real?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when those foundational elements are destroyed, or maybe I should say they never were there in the first place. Okay. Sometimes
but
you don't lose anything.
Culturally, we did have some foundational elements.
But I mean, I'm talking about just even in the Christian home and in the church, when sometimes those foundational elements are not even evident, then there's nothing authentic. You will not have an authenticity about you.
Well, you know, as you were talking about the video game thing, I thought about my generation. The thing was comic books.
Okay,
And I wonder if video games are not the comic books of the day.
It's quite possible.
And again, is a comic book bad? Well, it depends on what it says and what kind of got in it. But I mean, generally speaking, just a story is not bad. But you had boys, most of the time it was boys, who were, and even as they got older, they got engulfed this this comic book reality.
Well, you know, and I think it's interesting because why do we pursue those things? I think within ourselves, there is this desire to accomplish something. Something great, something big. And I'm not saying that, you know, I don't want to spiritualize this too much, but I really believe that young men or young ladies, whatever they pursue, or men and women, whatever they pursue, they long for something. And they long for something authentic. They long mm-hmm. for something good. So they pursue it in those areas. So they're only doing, I think, what naturally is built within a human makeup, quite honestly. But the problem is that we end up not pursuing those things which are authentic at all in the process of trying to do that.
Right. I think there is, you know, some people think ambition is wrong. No, ambition is not wrong. Ambition is good, but it needs to be holy ambition. You know, Paul said, I press toward the mark. I reach after to attain the things for which I have been grasped after in Christ. His ambition was a holy ambition to know all that Christ had for him. Mm-hmm. And so we should transfer that God-given sense of ambition to right. eternal things.
Well, I preached a message about a week and a half ago. Well, the teaching fellowship, where I talked about the issues of kindness and goodness and compassion. And those things are not evident in our life. First of all, we're not even following Christ with that passion, that deep-rooted passion, so therefore we don't want to be like him. And those things are very much like him. And so therefore there's no authenticity really coming out of our lives at all. My natural inclination, and I know I'm sinful, but kindness, am I kind? Am I compassionate? Those things that truly are a mark of an authentic Christian.
Is the reality of right. Christ coming through.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because we are enamored with him. We are in awe of him. First of all, because of what he's done for us.
Right.
Second of all, just because of who he is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So we've got the idea we've lost virginity. We've lost authenticity. This next one here, the loss of integrity. Maybe just expound upon that from your perspective.
Well, I think it comes right out of the loss of authenticity or loss of reality. If we don't live with our feet grounded on the reality of the truth of God, if the truth of God is not central to our existence, then there is no honesty. There's no basis for honesty, who we are. We mm-hmm. don't have transparency. And that's where the church is the culture where we are to be transparent with one another. I don't mean we share every little detail about our lives, but we are real with one another, and the truth of God affects our lives in such a way is that our lives are not some
closed book,
exactly, or some storefront.
Right.
You know, in the old westerns, sometimes when they had these sets, they had these storefronts. There's nothing uh-huh. behind them, but
the illusion.
Yes, it gave the illusion of something that was not there. And I think mm-hmm. we can very easily do that. That's why I would say to people, we'll have a conference. And, oh man, y'all are so wonderful. Well, if you live with me, you would see behind the storefront.
Right.
You know, I just want you to know. I'm not, I don't have to tell you at all, but I am a man with feet of clay, and all of us are. Right. And so we need to be real. There needs to be this sense of reality and then of honesty and just integrity in our dealings with people.
And that's so true in the church because, I mean, I think about every Sunday when I go to church and I run into people that I really don't even know that well. Mm-hmm. I have the ones that I do know well. And people say, hey, how's it going? And you're like, oh, I'm doing great. Actually, I just had a bad week. You know, if I'd have been real honest or, oh, I mean, it was okay. It wasn't. We don't really get real. And I think one of the things that I've seen in our churches is we've started moving to small groups where we have mm-hmm. weekly Bible studies with groups of people. And we'll split off guys and girls and we'll sit down and talk about real issues and right. get real. And you don't see that. Authentic honesty, mm-hmm. kind of bringing those two mm-hmm. together.
Yeah,
the integrity of who we are. We put on a mask,
right?
We live with a mask very very often. Well, here's a question for you, and I'll throw this out at you. Obviously, I think my generation longs for something real, but from your perspective, why do you think it's so hard for your generation to be authentic?
You mean the baby boomer generation?
Yeah, the baby boomer generation.
Well, I think we all suffer from a fear of vulnerability. You know, we don't mm-hmm. want to be vulnerable. The funny thing is in the 60s, especially the 60s and the 70s, the Haight-Ashbury culture, the hippie culture, was all about being down on the lack of authenticity of our parents. Mm-hmm. And now the baby boomers have won up their parents, you know, the great generation, mm-hmm. they one up them with this lack of being open and vulnerable and, you mm-hmm. know.
Which is interesting because my generation wants authenticity, but I can't help but wondering if in our desire to get it, we really are not going to achieve it.
Yeah, because the generation is looking in the wrong places. Mm-hmm. And So you have just a horrible sense of a lack of purpose, and that purpose leads to just a meandering sort of view of life. It's just not, it's not real. It's not, there's not integrity. You know, I don't think any of us really wants to be vulnerable, but we need to be.
Right. Well, unfortunately, our time is up, and we've discussed quite a few things here, and we'll come back to this next week. This has been some good thoughts, and we'll just discover what it is that we truly have lost. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. If you would like more information, please visit our website at visionforliving.org, where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today.